gospel lesson comes from Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning at the 15th verse. It is a word that is shared to the church of faith. Listen. If any member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by the Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Have you ever done anything wrong to someone else? Has anyone ever done anything wrong towards you? I'm guessing there's not one of us that has not experienced one or the other realities. We are seemingly at times a fragile bunch, and then we, with our rough edges, seem to cut into each other, sometimes very much unintentionally, but still sometimes hurtfully. And other times, sometimes people do things that really are hurtful and don't realize it. And somehow we need to do something about that. But what is it we do? What do you do in cases like that? This passage in Scripture really is a way of trying to talk to that issue. When someone has done someone wrong, or you've done something wrong to someone else, how do we find a new place with one another? And sometimes it's just in bringing it to another's attention, to make them realize something they may not have realized. Or to help them understand that it matters so much to me that I want things to be renewed between us. And so clearing the air, clearing the decks, is one of the things that we certainly need to do. Sometimes people need to come to us and tell us something that you may have said or did, intentionally or unintentionally. And it feels a little more difficult to hear it coming towards you. But if it comes to us in love, if it comes to us with the intent that we want to make things better between us, then it is a good course in which to walk. There is a tradition in some churches. Matter of fact, I served a church in North Carolina, Bethpage Presbyterian, that's about as old or a little older than you are, and they had a separate building they called the Session House. Well, that's where the session at. But they hadn't met in it for a long, long time. But it still stood there. And I said, well, when you built the other buildings and session met in there, then what happened to this house? Oh, it was used occasionally. Really? How was it used? Well, if somebody stepped out of line in a way that was hurtful to others or themselves, then we invited them to the session house. Oh, oh, oh. Imagine that. Being called by your elders to come to the session house because they feel a need to talk with you about something. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You know, at this point in our lives, we don't see that happening very often at all, do we? But it is something that kind of makes the point of this story is that sometimes one has to have serious conversation about things that really matter because we want to be able to get beyond it, move beyond it. And sometimes we find ourselves stuck where we are for whatever reason it may be. But it does hold us back. It takes all kinds of energy to hold on to our hurt, to hold on to our anger. But how do we let it go in a way that releases us from it and we can feel free and clear? Scripture tells us that God freely gives us forgiveness. It is something that he offers to us because he loves us. It is a great gift. We celebrated just a few moments ago, didn't we? We confessed our sins together and collectively and individually, and then we were reassured that God forgives us in Christ. So we know that as God has forgiven us, we can then experience forgiveness one with another. There was one church I served that had a very, very horrible experience take place in, and there were people who just absolutely wouldn't talk to each other in any way, shape, or form. And one of the things we instituted was we instituted, right after the confessional time, after the Gloria, passing of the peace. You see, may the peace of Christ be with you as it's been given to me. And if we're clean and clear with God and clean and clear with one another, then guess what? I can offer that peace because I'm free from it. I'm free from all that that I just confessed. Now, what's fascinating about that community of faith was it took a while to kind of have people warm up to it. It took a while for people to feel comfortable. But it was interesting finally to see over the course of time that there were people on one side of the church that actually did finally make it to the other side of the church to extend a hand to someone. Someone who they weren't feeling real good about for whatever may have happened. But in that moment, in that profound moment, their lives were changed. Not only for them, because one had made an overture to the other in the name of Christ, but also others who witnessed it. They saw if they can do that, then what went on for them that cost them and allowed them to do that, then maybe I can do it as well. And instead of me carrying this burden that I've been carrying around for so long, I can finally unload it and be free of it. Open my arms to receive and accept and care for another. You know, those are things that really do happen. Those things that really can happen. But so often what happens is we find ourselves find some, I don't know, joy in being upset with another. Oh, we say we're not, we don't find any in it. But if we're really not getting fed by it in a positive way, then why are we holding on to it? Someone we feel justified that they have done us wrong. See, I know they've done wrong. Man, I beg you. But what would it be like to turn it around into your hands and just let go and open them up and see what God may do with that? It may change the course of things for us. This passage is about that. It's not just about, oh, there's some troublemaker, we're going to have to talk to him first, and if that doesn't work, we'll take a couple more. If that doesn't work, we'll take him from the church. If that doesn't work, we don't take the session off. That doesn't work. Then we're going to kind of kick them to the streets. I think that's realistic. And there are times where, in fact, one needs to do that. Matter of fact, in our tradition, there's actually a method which one can follow to do that. In fact, I actually help my church I work with do that very thing. But the discipline part of our polity is not to punish people, it's to restore relationships. That's the whole point. Churches seldom use it, presbytery use it all the time, but in the church, that's pretty personal, isn't it? It's pretty close at hand. Don't feel real comfortable with that. But if people are creating that kind of heartache, that kind of trouble, then what do you do? There was a church, I wasn't serving the church, I was moderating the church while they were in a search for a pastor, and it became aware that the choir director and his wife were creating all kinds of havoc. Not suggesting ours did. But they were creating some major havoc and really creating all kinds of difficulty. And so I said, you know, there's a way in which we can deal with it. It's not used very often, but really we have the steps for it. It calls for use of session to pick three trusted mature people. We're going to go investigate this from all parties concerned and come back with a recommendation to session. They did it. Those three went about conversing with any and all that pertained to the matter. They came to session to share that which they felt come to do. Session concurred with it, and they then shared that with all those involved. Know what happened? Wonderful things happened. A new day dawned. For the people involved, the conflict, the trouble stopped, and literally all kinds of wonderful things began to happen in the life of that church. Because they dealt with something that was destroying the church, was going to begin to break it down, And sometimes you need to do what you need to do. This passage is a way in which to do that if it's really going to tear the church apart. But ordinarily, it's not quite that severe. It's more just somebody did something, stuck to my toe and didn't realize it, or stuck to my toe and they did do it on purpose, and I got bad feelings about that. And I'm hurt by that, not just my toe hurts, but I hurt. I hurt that they somehow infringed upon me in that way. And hurt, if not dealt with, becomes anger. And anger has all kinds of destructive qualities. And if you hold on to your hurt and anger, it just chews you up. In fact, it doesn't hurt the other person much at all, because they're not even aware of what's happening to you. But the problem is, if we hold on to it, it literally tears us, slowly, bit by bit, piece by piece, until finally we're not a very happy person. And we have a hard time dealing with other issues that come up. Things kind of get out of hand for us. God doesn't want that. Bless you. God doesn't want that. God wants us to be in an abundant, careful, loving relationship with one another. And there are people we disagree with, but we can disagree with in a positive way and not affect the relationship I have with them. We can choose to agree to disagree. We can choose to take a different course. We can choose to offer the forgiveness God gives us to someone else, either because they need to receive the forgiveness even if they don't know they need it. Or maybe we need to offer an apology when we finally realize we do need to offer it. But in that act, there's some cleansing that takes place. Sometimes you don't know what somebody's going to do when you apologize to them. One, they may not know they did anything. Two, if they do, they may not be particularly sorry for it. But you're trying to offer a chance for the relationship to be renewed, for the air to be clean, and so that a new way can be found. I've been here almost 2 months, and I've heard a lot of stories. And I've heard a lot of hidden hurt and anger and frustration about things. It's not pervasive. It isn't happening everywhere. It's only a few people in the life of the congregation right now are in turmoil over stuff. But it's causing and affecting the whole community of faith. And if people don't come to deal with it, it's going to do damage to this community of faith. One thing that session knows, diaconate know, staff know, is what Prestery and I agreed upon with each other when I was assigned to be your interim, is that the decision of whether we're going to move forward and search for a pastor is left into my judgment. If I'm not satisfied with the way it's clear and you're moving in a positive direction, I will not tell the Committee on Preparation for Ministry, or the Pastor Transition Commission, that you're ready. And you cannot start a search process. So I'd be real interested about my view on things. And I'd be real concerned about trying to discover if somehow I'm a part of that, and I need to do something to help facilitate changing that. Or maybe I don't even have to even talk to you. This conversation, hearing Scripture, might remind you of what God wants for all of us in our relationships. For them to be restored, to be renewed, forgiveness to happen. To have the joy and love flow. And if I see signs of that, and I see that things really are beginning to change, and people are beginning to process things very differently, behave very differently, that's going to tell me with great good news that yes, you're very much ready to receive someone. Because if you're not willing to give it up, it's going to create problems for a new person to come. And there's leftover residue for people in this congregation about people who still are part of the community of faith and those who are no longer here. Now, most of you know that's not a surprise. But I, as a pastor who cares for you, needs to claim that to let you know I know that. And I'm concerned about that enough that I went away from the lectionary and picked this passage today to talk to you about it. Because I want you to move on. This is a good church with good, capable people who really want to serve the Lord. And we really want to do that. But the way we have to do it is to follow the great theologian Elsa from the movie Frozen. Let it go. Sometimes you just need to let it go. So gather up what it is, put it in your hands, hold it up, and just let it go. Because you can't hold on to anything else new if your hands are full. But if your hands are empty, and you turn them up, now you can receive. Now you can receive, hold, care, serve. And I think that's what God wants for all of us. I believe that's what God wants for you as a community of faith. The good news is God loves us freely. And God wants us to freely love others. And even sometimes when people don't want to forgive others and don't want to acknowledge they've done something wrong, that's between them and God. They need to sort out. They're creating continued problems. There's ways we can deal with that. But there's also ways we can just deal with our stuff. And so much is dealing with our stuff, not somebody else's stuff. Because sometimes we have to forgive people even when they seem unforgivable. And they're not open to forgiveness and acknowledgement. Because I need to be forgiven. I'm as guilty as the rest of you. There are things in my life that I continue to struggle with and try to let. And until I really let him go, I really can't fully embrace with joy the life God wants us to live. And I believe God wants us to live it fully with great joy and satisfaction. So like Elsa says, let it go.
In Jesus Christ,
God has reconciled the world to himself. Jesus Christ is God with us. He is the